everyone, and welcome to the South Carolina Disaster Corps podcast, the exclusive podcast that is dedicated to the education of South Carolinians in a variety of topics within emergency preparedness and strives to apply that knowledge to increase community awareness, resilience, and service. My name is Cameron Matthews, and I am a South Carolina Disaster Corps team member. And in today's episode, I'll be interviewing Elizabeth Price, an emergency coordinator, and a former 911 operator. So without wasting any time, here's Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming in today and to answer some of our questions, Elizabeth. The first question that we have for you today is that, given your experience with disasters, what are the basics of a disaster and what should our listeners be aware for in South Carolina?
A disaster can be very individual specific, such as a fender bender for that particular individual, or you can have regional and statewide disasters such as our ice storms, the floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. The list is really kind of endless. And we do have a lot of fault lines in South Carolina, so we also have earthquakes.
So following that question, Elizabeth, what kind of vulnerabilities did do the public face during a disaster?
The main vulnerability is just not taking the time to be prepared as a household or as an individual. We've had a lot with the COVID, people talking about having your basic supplies on hand for when we are or were locked down and couldn't go out and about. Well, that still applies for an ice storm or a flood or anything where you can't get out and do your normal routine. So you want to have those. And I believe you all spoke in a previous podcast about your 3-day supplies per person. Mm-hmm. Don't forget those pets, cats, dogs, livestock if you have them. When you have children, be a little more specific with what you're planning. Toys, books, something to keep them occupied if they can't get to those electronics. And then, of course, having a plan if you do have to leave. If you have to go to a shelter or you have to leave your normal area, where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? I personally tend to not get below a half a tank of gas because you never know when you're going to need to go someplace, or if my daughter had an emergency and I had to leave right away to get to her, and had I not had gas, I would have had to stop and it would have been that much more time. So it's thinking out those things and being prepared to take care of yourself and your family and your pets until the professionals can get there, no matter what the actual major disaster may be.
Yes, ma'am. So with the knowledge of those vulnerabilities and how to prepare for them, what kind of damages or outcomes could some listeners face during a disaster? And that might be a little repetitive.
One thing that I think we forget about a good bit is that financial aspect. And having your insurance information gathered in a place. Are those important papers such as your marriage certificates, birth certificates, social security cards? So you have them in a packet where you can go just grab them and go. We're really fortunate in this part of the state that a lot of our disasters don't require our leaving our home in a hurry. And so that tends to be something that we don't necessarily think about, is having those important documents gathered together. There are resources online to give you a checklist so you don't forget things. FEMA has an excellent package that you can actually put your paperwork together, list out those policy numbers, holders, and such as that.
Okay. So as a 911 operator, how did you coordinate emergency services during a disaster, and how did the 911 center work to distribute emergency services as quickly and efficiently as possible?
Well, let me first cover a little bit about what 911 is and how it works, because so many people don't know, fortunately. So say we had to make a call. We're going to call the 911. Call 911. It's going to hit off, if it's a cell phone, the closest tower. So that's important to know. If you're close to a county line or a state line, you might not get your local 911 operator, and you'll get transferred to whomever is local for you. They're going to ask you some basic questions now. We're in Anderson County. Anderson County 911, what's the location of your emergency? Know where you are. If you don't have an exact address, take a look at your landmarks. Do you see a crossroad? Do you see a church? Do you see a business that has a name? Because fortunately, our 911 system has a lot of resources where they can find that out. If we're down the street from 123 Baptist Church, they can look that up, get that address. Then they'll say, okay, what are you wearing? so officers or EMS or the fire department knows who you are and where you can find them. Say we have a person who passed out in the parking lot here. And for whatever reason, maybe you don't feel comfortable going all the way to them right away. So they're going to ask, are they black, white, Hispanic, or what are they wearing? Can you tell how old they are? Do you see any wounds? And the reason why they're asking all these questions is because the answers provided by the caller are relayed to whomever is responding. And it happens simultaneously. Just because you're on the phone with 911 doesn't mean that help isn't coming. We are great multitaskers. I have sent law enforcement to a bank alarm while giving CPR instructions to my caller. You know, that would be a really busy day. Say the call volume was more normal, then I can just take care of my caller and my partner can take care of their job duties.
Okay. Did y'all ever experience any influx in like a increased call volume during a disaster, or did y'all just like separate
the time?
Okay.
So when we have, say we have a big storm come through, we get a lot of spring storms mm-hmm. in the south. Got a lot of wind, rain, trees go down. Everybody's going to call, and they should. I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but understand we still need to have the answers to these questions. That's going to be a localized disaster. We're very lucky also in the upstate that our counties work really well together. So if we have on more than one occasion, we've had calls that have gone from, say, Anderson County into surrounding county or vice versa. Our 911 centers have the ability to speak to each other. So I could relay what my law enforcement's saying to, say, Greenville, and Greenville can relay it to their law enforcement. So they have that continuous piece. Now, in the event of, say, God forbid, a large apartment fire, most 911 centers, and I can say locally, ours all do, have the ability to take a person or two or however many they need and put them dedicated specifically to that disaster. So they're not worried about your everyday stuff. They can just focus on this one with the tactical dispatch. We have command posts. Mm-hmm. When we have missing boaters, we have a lot of that in the summer, the command post for a particular county. And what that is a dedicated location that has comfort items for responders, such as snacks, drinks, air conditioning, or what we like to call weather rehab, a place to get warm. So that's another example of how locally they're going to handle some of the disasters that happen, and that is coordinated through the 911 center and very often emergency management.
Okay. So in closing, with the experience that you do have, do you have any recommendations for our listeners in our community in regards for being prepared for a disaster, as you mentioned with the FEMA stuff earlier?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Stepping back down a little bit more to the individual level, I would really like to encourage your listeners to take the time to think about their own personal plan and be their own personal emergency manager. My mom lives in northern Michigan, don't hold it against me, and she is 84 years young and drives from northern Michigan down to here.
Oh.
And I bring that up because when I was working at 911, I did have a older lady call who was concerned about traveling in the evening time or perhaps at night to get to see her grandson in a different county. And what I encourage her to do, and also listeners who may have that same concern, don't stop doing things you enjoy because you're worried that help won't be there. Go ahead and plan out your route. Let somebody know where you're going. Let somebody know when you arrive there, which my mom has to do, because I will call her. I will call her place she's stopping. I will do whatever I need to do to track her down. But don't stop doing things that you enjoy. If you have health concerns, have those listed in the car. So if something happens and you're unable to tell a responder what's going on, they can find that piece of information either in your glove box or in your purse or in your wallet. You know, things as simple as allergies, mm-hmm. or if you know you have seizure problems, your doctor. It's not that they just want to help you. They're not going to talk about anything that they see, but that's going to help them take care of you faster. I mean, we all know that the faster response people have to a stroke, the better their outcome. It's the same thing. So moving beyond the individual, plan for your family. You know, get involved with your community. If it's something that you think you would enjoy, you can volunteer with lots of different places. There's the Red Cross. They don't just do blood. You don't just have to respond during disaster. There's lots of tasks that would be helpful when things are fine. Everybody has paperwork. You know, get involved with your United Way. Find out what programs are out there. A lot of our counties offer CERT programs, which is the Community Emergency Response Teams. A lot of that information, even if you aren't necessarily one to go respond to disaster, it gives you a lot of good, basic, individual information. So when something happens at your house, if someone gets cut or there is that personalized disaster, you can take care of something until the professionals get there.
That's a really good answer. And the interesting thing is, me and Sawyer both are CERT members for Anderson County.
Excellent.
So, or had that CERT training. So with that, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us today and answering the questions we had. And for our listeners, thank you for listening to this episode of SC Disaster Corps Podcast. And you'll be able to find all of our shows on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcast, Breaker, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, and the South Carolina Disaster Corps YouTube channel. If you'd like to learn more about the SC Disaster Corps, AmeriCorps, or United Way, please visit unitedwayofanderson.org. And for those of you listening on YouTube, please hit the like button, subscribe for more content, and those of you who are subscribed, hit the bell icon to receive notifications for new videos. For those listening on one of the podcast hosting sites, please hit the follow button to stay up to date with the podcast. Remember, you're looking for our weekly shout out that will be available on Friday, and be ready for our next week's episode. Thank you for being with us today at SC Disaster Corps. We hope to see you next time, and remember, be prepared.